columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Can we be there?
And we are here.
Oh, just think of the time.
Oh, you don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
Love so strange.
You know, this is really the only thing normal left in my life is coming in here and doing this. Stoke, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and that's about it for me too, buddy. That's this is it. 12 to 3, baby, Monday through Friday. The weekend's chaotic, you know. It's like I got all these plans to get stuff done, got all this time, can't go anywhere, not going anywhere, and I never accomplish anything. But I just watch a lot of Netflix and maybe get a workout in. I got to tell you, I'm on Ozark right now.
I've heard good things.
Palumbus and D-Mac, because I was on their show Friday, and I said, well, what's next after the Tiger King? Right, what's going to be next for me this weekend? I need some suggestions. Give me a good, something good. And they said Ozark, and I got into it, and I'm telling you, I love it.
Can you, with no spoilers, in like 10 seconds, give a quick summary of what are, because I don't know if it's a documentary, I don't know if it's a movie.
No, it's not a doc. It's just a show.
Okay.
I think the third series is just starting here. It's about a financial guy that is laundering money. And
gotcha,
so
okay.
That's kind of how it starts, and it takes some twists and turns. Jason Bateman is his name,
oh,
I think.
Oh, yeah. I know Jason Bateman.
It's hilarious. He does an unbelievable job. Love him. He does a great job, and so it's been really good. So I watched a lot of that this weekend, and then that's really about it.
Okay, I'm going to put that in my back pocket trying to move on from Tiger King, it feels like the first couple months after I graduated college, it's like, now what?
When that girl your freshman year of college dumped you a little, right? Like, now what? You know, you know that feeling, right, Zach?
Well, it's one of these things where
multiple times.
It's so stupid. just trying to figure out what's next. So we started McMillions. Have you heard this? Have you heard about McMillions?
Not sure if I have or not.
It is about we only watched the very first episode, but it gets you. Last night we put it on, and it's about a guy or guys, a syndicate, or one guy, I don't know yet, who figures out how to rig the McDonald's Monopoly game.
Oh, so this is a documentary.
This is a documentary. Like,
right.
Millions of dollars on the line, and basically you figure out in the first episode that there is three different winners from the same family, and the probability of that happening is like one out of 3 trillion, something like that. And they start doing an investigation. So I'm just figuring it out, but I'm very intrigued. I'll let you know.
Netflix.
That's right, Netflix.
I read that, and so I have a little bit of a background on that of how it was kind of accomplished and what they did. But I would love to see the show. I haven't seen the show.
Yeah, I'll give you an update if it's worth in a couple days if it's worth your time.
Okay, perfect. Man, I'm telling you what, I got to give a shout out to my son. He's delivering me lunch again, a little salad. Carson, shout out to you, buddy. Thank you,
Carson, my man.
There we go. I mean, it's not a bad gig, Zach, doing
really
from
not.
Home. You know, but I did. I asked my wife. I said, can you make me a salad today, please? I'm in a little bit of a rush, you know. We had our conference call this morning.
That's right.
That took a little bit longer than I thought. You know, everybody has that. Everybody has that guy that asks too many questions or talks a little bit too much. I didn't just realize that was my partner, you, Zach, being that guy. Right? Everybody at office or wherever you're at, you have that guy that can't stop asking questions or can't stop commenting when comments should be done. Well, that was you today. And so that went a little bit longer than it was expected. And so I was a little bit behind.
I didn't ask any questions. I just served up a couple thoughts.
A couple thoughts.
So when you pop on the screen, you don't know how to unmute your mic. We go to you. Look, you got a big Ben beard and a winter hat on in your own house.
Yeah.
I don't know if the heat went out or what. about this situation.
It was a little chilly. It was a little chilly.
You're wearing a winter hat on inside with a big old beard on.
I don't know what was going on with my mic this morning. Not sure. I pushed it 20 different times, tried every button, and it just wasn't working.
Everyone else figured it out. We got to wait for Smoke to turn
the
mic on.
You're exactly right. That was a little bit of an issue for me this morning. But so between your thoughts that you had to get out there and my mic, it went a little bit longer than expected. So yeah, I was like, hey, babe, you think you can make me a salad? You know, she delivered again, and then Carson brings it down to me, and I got my two coffees sitting here nice and warm. And it's not too bad. It's not too bad, buddy. Of course, I'd rather be in studio.
Of course.
It's not trying to make the best like everybody out of this situation.
That's right. That's right. And Shelby Harris making the best out of a free agent period that did not work out for him. Holy moly. At 8:42 p.m. on Friday night, Nikki Jabala, I believe, was the first to break the news. Quote, Broncos are re-signing defensive lineman Shelby Harris to a one-year contract that includes $2.5 million in guarantees. That's just a single number to the left of that decimal. $2.5 million guaranteed and has a max value of $3.25 million per source. I saw this deal, and I could not think to go back to the dozen different conversations we had within the last 2 weeks talking about Shelby Harris's market value. And I knew I was going to lose our bet. I knew it was going to be lower than Shelby thought it was. I didn't think it was going to be this low.
Yeah, and both of them signed one-year deals. When you look at Wolf and Shelby Harris, and that's what we were talking about last week, that it was going to look like both these guys were going to probably sign a one-year deal, and it wouldn't surprise us. And that's what they both ended up signing. Shelby Harris, obviously the market a lot softer and a lot less than what he thought he was going to get out there, especially going with Drew Rosenhaus. He had a really good season for whatever reason. For whatever reason, I don't know if it was because previously he hadn't done a whole lot and just had that one season. But look, this could work out good for him in the long run, just signing this one-year deal. If he goes out and has another really good year and shows that he's capable of doing it, now he can sign that three-year, you know, 20-something million-dollar contract, hopefully. But hopefully he goes out there and has a good year like he did this past year. And the Broncos, great signing for the Broncos. Just more depth, and you're only paying the guy $3 million, so real good signing for the Broncos. More defensive line help, more depth there, and a guy that played really well for you last year. What'd you make of it?
Well, my biggest takeaway wasn't necessarily anything to do with Shelby Harris's like production. It was, and I tweeted this Saturday morning. I said the Shelby Harris deal is probably the biggest disparity of expectation versus reality in terms of money of anyone I can remember in free agency. This is a guy who hired Drew Rosenhaus. This is a guy who was on the radio saying that we're not taking any discounts. Talks of $10 million annual average value. I believe it was Nikki who floated out the number, hey, this could get as high as $12 million. And then the dude signs a one-year contract, just $2.5 million guaranteed. I know we get numbers wrong sometimes. This is like less than a quarter of the value that some thought that he was going to get, easily a third. I just thought it was a massive it's not good for Shelby. It's a massive win for the Denver Broncos. That's my biggest takeaway. Because he's a good football player. Is he a great football player? No, he's not. And I think his market value showed that. But he's a good football player. And really, I mean, I don't know what the veteran minimum is, but it can't be too much lower than that. I was just stunned on the deal. I got to be honest. I was really, really surprised.
Yeah, that makes two of us. I knew it wasn't. Well, I didn't know, but I didn't think when Nikki floated that $10 million out there, I was very I wasn't in tune with that. I didn't think that was going to happen for him, especially when you saw Jordan Phillips in the deal that he signed. Didn't think Shelby was going to get that, but also didn't think Shelby was going to have to settle for a one-year, you know, $3 million deal. But like I said, there's a lot of guys that bet on themselves, and that ends up working out for them. You look at a guy like Bradley Roby. This stuff happens every single year where they only have to take that one-year deal, and then if they play well, they can parlay that into a better deal. But like you said, obviously a win for the Denver Broncos. He just provides depth. He provides a presence. He knows the system, knows the scheme. He's coming back in year two under Vic Fangio. I think it's a huge win for the Denver Broncos. I think we all kind of assumed that all those guys were going to be moving on. When you talked about Wolf, Shelby Harris, and Adam Gotsis, and being able to bring back Shelby Harris on a deal where it's a very low salary in terms of a starting defensive lineman in the NFL, especially one that had the production that Shelby had last year, is a huge win for the Denver Broncos. It's obviously it was an area of need, and they went out there and they addressed it with Jarrell Casey, but also to be able to bring back another presence and with Shelby Harris, I think is a slam dunk for the Denver Broncos. Now you're going into the draft, and it's just you're really freed up.
Right.
The one spot we look at it is wide receiver, and that's a huge void there. But other than that, you know, it's like Javon Kinlaw, the defensive lineman for South Carolina, is there. It's like, we don't have to take him. Certainly, if he's your best on your board, you can take him. But to me, it's a veteran presence. He provides depth. He provides a starter. You got Draymond Jones. You got Jarrell Casey. You got Mike Purcell right in the middle, and you got Shelby Harris. So right now, you're in a good situation on your front for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, no, for sure, a really good situation. Really, it's just you're substituting in terms of the big boys up front. You're substituting Derek Wolfe for Jarrell Casey. You know that's really what happened here. Purcell's still going to be there. Shelby's coming back. And now Jarrell Casey, who I think most would definitely consider a step up from Derek Wolfe. So it's out goes Wolfe, in steps Jarrell Casey to play along Purcell and Shelby. And here we go. I mean,
and you got year two of Draymond Jones.
Sure.
You know, we can't forget that. And I'm expecting big things from that guy. I was expecting him to be the starter. He still could be the starter in front of Shelby Harris. We'll see how that works out and how that plays out. Those guys play a lot regardless. And Draymond Jones is going to play a lot this year. But I could see him emerging as a big time part of the defensive line this year in year two for Draymond Jones.
I mean, honestly, if that happens, the what you just forecasted, that Draymond Jones starts over Shelby Harris. Shelby's still going to play a bunch of the rotation. I got it. But if Draymond Jones is starting over Shelby Harris week one, that's best case scenario for me.
Right.
Because this guy's a third round draft pick on a rookie contract in year two, showed nice signs in spots in year one. If you have more confidence in Draymond Jones in his second year than Shelby Harris, then boy, I mean, that could be a brick, you know, in the wall here, not only for 2020, but and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely right. I look at it now, and I look at the draft, and you look at number 15 where the Broncos are sitting, and I say, well, does this make it a lot less likely with the moves in free agency, not just the Shelby Harris move, but the moves in free agency, that now a guy like Javon Kinlaw is not, I don't want to say off the list, but less likely to be picked by the Denver Broncos. You got Jarrell Casey, and he's here, and he's got a few more years left on his deal. Shelby Harris, you know, you're going to have him at least for this year. Draymond Jones is going to be in year two. Does this make that type of move, especially in round one at number 15, a lot less likely for the Denver Broncos now to pick a D lineman if a guy like Javon Kinlaw is there?
Man, that's a great question, Stoke. Less likely to the specific nature of your question. Less likely? Yes, I do believe it's less likely. Off the table? Not even close. That's how I would answer that question. I'd say not even close to being off the table. Because, again, Shelby's goal here is to play well and get another contract, whether it's somewhere else. There's no extra emphasis on the Broncos. So this could be just another one year thing, and then you got a hole there again.
Right.
So, I mean, I think if Javon Kinlaw, the defensive tackle from South Carolina you're referring to, is there on the board and he's your best player available because Jerry Jeudy got gobbled up and Tristan Wirfs and Mekhi Becton and Jedrick Wills and Andrew Thomas are gone and you're looking at Javon Kinlaw there at 15, I think you still grab him because this is not just – I'm not – reinventing the wheel here with this next statement, but this is not just about 2020. The Broncos aren't winning the Super Bowl in 2020. This is about the next 2 to 3 years and trying to get to that point. And if you believe in 2 years, Javon Kinlaw is going to be the best, one of the best players at his position, and he's sitting there at 15, hell, pull the trigger. The Broncos need really good football players. It's not, they're not one wide receiver away from hoisting the Lombardi Trophy this year.
Yeah, you said it perfectly there, Zach. When you look at the situation, you don't just draft for this year, you draft for the future. And if you think you got a player that can be just a dominant force in the middle, you're not just looking at 2020, but you're looking at 21, 22, where your football team's going to be. And you can't ever have enough good defensive linemen. You can't ever have enough good outside pass rushers. And if you have Javon Kinlaw very high on your board, and, you know, like you said, a Judy's gone and you're other top wide receivers gone, you're not going to force the issue at 15 for a receiver just because you have a huge need there. You know what? You'll go into the football season with Tim Patrick on the outside, with Cortland Sutton, with Deshaun Hamilton, and more moves will be made coming up here when players will get released, veteran players will get released, where you can still add to that wide receiver group with another veteran if you want to. So that stuff's going to continue to happen. It will happen at the end of training camp. We see it every year. Oh, that was a surprise cut. Can't believe that guy got cut. And you'll be able to add to that group still. So I don't think it's an absolute necessity for the Broncos at 15 because of the huge need there to take a wide receiver. You'll be able to get one in the second round. You'll be able to get one in the third round. You got plenty of ammunition to be able to move back in the first round if you want to do that. So if you have Kinlaw very high on your board and he's still there, you know what? You scoop him up and you take him and you just add more depth, and you can never have enough of that on the defensive line.
Yeah, nope. Totally agree there. In terms of what we're going to be looking at up front, how do you feel about that group? The group of Jarrell Casey, Mike Purcell, and Shelby Harris in that 3-4?
I feel good about it. I do. I mean, I feel really good about it. We saw what Mike Purcell was able to do when he got in the lineup. And now you look at a guy like Jarrell Casey and bringing back Shelby Harris and having Draymond Jones as a situational player. I feel really good about it. I do. I think it's a good, solid group. And on the outside, you got the two edge rushers there and Miller and Chubb. I think it's a solid group all the way around. So, On paper, I mean, I feel really good. You feel that good?
I feel really good. And I just think like we went into this period like, hey, our biggest question marks are up front, right? Like, hey, we're only confident that one guy is going to be around. There's question marks to the left and right of Mike Purcell. And now you look, Shelby Harris going to be back. You don't have to reteach the defense. You have that continuity playing next to Mike Purcell after they bumped him over about one quarter of the way through the year. And you would think that Jarrell Casey is a step up from Derek Wolfe. So you're talking about continuity for a guy who knows the defense, who's coming back to play alongside Purcell and Casey now. And then you're talking about Chubb coming back. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but you used the phrase on paper. This on paper looks like it's going to be a top 10 defense, I think, the floor of this thing. And I don't think that's an outlandish statement. I really don't. I think you still have potentially, and we're hopeful for Vaughn, I'm believing in Chubb, but potentially a top three edge rushing duo. A.J. Johnson was lights out last year in his first year playing a football for the Broncos or in the NFL. Jarrell Casey, talking about a five-time Pro Bowler coming here. The continuity of Purcell and Shelby coming back. And what you have on the back end with A.J. Boye and Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson and maybe the biggest question mark, Bryce Callahan. But you start to go through man by man of this defense, you're like, okay, not as many question marks as we had just 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it puts a smile on your face, really, when you look at it on paper. Obviously, it's on paper, but I can be very optimistic about that group that you just laid out right there. And it makes me more excited for the draft. It really does, because we're not pigeonholed to taking one position. I think with the depth at the wide receiver position, you can ignore it at 15 if your top two guys are gone and you love a how about put a C.J. Henderson, the cornerback from Florida,
yep,
in the mix, Javon Kinlaw. I mean, you can just continue to add good pieces, because John Elway and company have done a nice job on paper this offseason of adding pieces and not going in the draft with huge holes and huge voids on this football team. So they've done a really good job of addressing their needs and being patient in some situations. You know, I know early on a lot of people were panicking, and I wasn't panicking, but I was just a little bit antsy. I wanted a couple big moves, and they weren't necessarily the big splashy moves that we thought, because some of them were a couple trades, but they took on some salary. They got some good veteran players. And now you're looking at the situation, and you don't have those huge voids heading into the draft. So it frees you up there to be able to, you know, add more depth to positions and just pick really good football players. And like I said, if you're looking for a receiver, we need receiver help. We know that. But at the same time, you know what? It kind of is what it is, and it's so deep at that position, you'll be able to find good receivers second, third round, and you see it every year. You see really good receivers not have to be – they don't have to be top 10 picks. It's almost like the running back position. You can find good receivers all across the draft, and I think this year, like everybody's talked about, that's very, very obvious and evident. It's going to happen. You're going to find really good receivers that fall to the second and third round.
Yep, and you had a comment about C.J. Henderson – at 15 that I want to get back to. And I touched on it just a couple weeks ago, but I want to revisit it at some point here during the show. We'll table it for now. You guys know that this coronavirus pandemic is affecting everyone in different ways, and you know local businesses is right at the top of that list. That's why we've launched 104.3 The Fan's Gift Card Rescue to try to help some of these terrific local businesses. Guys, if you want to help out, please go to 104.3thefan.com/gift card, and you'll find a constantly updating list of local businesses. We've got a great response from this, and you can get involved. Even $20 will go a long way. You purchase that e-gift card to one of these businesses, you help them out now, and then you'll redeem it later when we're all in a safer environment to socialize. It's just one small way to help our community as we weather this very difficult and brand new time for all of us. Okay, we talked about Shelby Harris. It's now time to talk about Derek Wolfe and officially say goodbye. We'll do that next.
My guys.
And there were some good times. But unfortunately, they've come to an end.
He's no longer a Bronco.
Derek Wolfe Stope officially reaching an agreement on a one-year deal worth up to $6 million with the Baltimore Ravens. First broken by Adam Schefter on Saturday afternoon about 2:41 p.m. here Mountain Time. I'll reserve my comments. I want to hear yours first. How do you think this is as a fit?
Well, I think it's a perfect fit for Derek. He's going to that 3-4 scheme. He's going with former Broncos defensive coordinator here, Wink Martindale, there in Baltimore as their defensive coordinator. He was here for a time with Derek. So I think it's a great fit for Derek. He knows the system, knows the scheme. You're going to a really good football team, and I think you'll fit right into that culture, you know, the Ravens culture. So I think it's a nice signing for the Baltimore Ravens, and I think it's a great spot for Wolf.
I piggyback on what you just said. I think this is, honestly, take away the finances, this is best-case scenario, if you ask me. You're going to a Super Bowl contender for a team that truly, I mean, is a bully defensively. Maybe number one in the league. And Schefter went on to say after he broke the news, new Ravens defensive end Derek Wolfe is coming off a season in which he started 12 games for the Broncos, registered a career-high 7 sacks. Ravens had an agreement with Michael Brockers, expressed interest in Ndamukong Suh, but land Wolfe. And if you followed that Brockers story, I thought it was a done deal, and it was not. He heads back to Seattle. Or is it Seattle or the Rams?
The Rams.
The Rams, I'm sorry. Yeah. He goes back to the Rams, and in steps Derek Wolfe. I think it's a great opportunity for Wolfe to not only play for a contender, but play for a great defense that's contending, and that elevates his value for this time next year to make some more money.
Yeah, certainly. I think you're spot on. They just traded for Calais Campbell. They got some good outside pass rushers, and they got a really good secondary. So they're a Super Bowl contender. You know, they're probably a top three team in the AFC, or maybe the top two. Them and Kansas City are probably the top two teams in the AFC, one and two right there. And so you're going to a really good football team, and they got a great culture there. And so I think you'll just fit perfectly in there.
Looking at the financial part of it, Derek was sort of had the same tone as Shelby Harris of like, hey, and he actually said this, I believe it was on Twitter, I believe in response to something that Tyler said, he may have even said in an interview, but he said, look, why would I play for less money this coming year than I did this past year? Unfortunately, just overestimated his value a little bit. He was making, what, about $9 million bucks this past year?
Stuff? I think
9,
so.
10,
yeah.
Something like that?
Yep.
And he lands a one-year deal worth up to $6 million. That is not the guaranteed money, I don't believe.
No, it's not.
What do you...
I think his average salary, his salary for the year is $3 million, and then he'll have a chance to possibly earn with incentives another three-ish, I think, is what I'm kind of seeing. The details of it haven't come out yet, but what I'm seeing is the salary's $3 million. Now maybe he's got a signing bonus in there too, and then maybe it's $2 million of incentives. So we'll see when it all comes out what exactly it looks like, but that's kind of the structure it looks like right now early on.
Is this along the lines of what you were expecting?
And this is it.
And I officially owe you a coffee because this
that's
was the
two now. Two.
Did we bet the Shelby Harris one as well?
No, we didn't. We just had one for 2 weeks now, and you forgot to bring it. You know, remember 2 weeks ago, and then now we've had some.
So where did the second coffee come from? I'm confused.
I don't know. It was 3 weeks ago when you were supposed to bring me one. You didn't bring it to me. I forgot what bet it was then. I don't remember, but you didn't bring it.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. And now this is a new one making it the second coffee.
So the
number that we had for our bet was $7 million, right?
Right. For I had the under.
And I had the over.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that was guaranteed money, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just salary, what his salary was going to be. So I don't know, you know, exactly what it's going to look like when it shakes out, but I think it's going to be well under the $6
million. Yeah,
That's kind of being reported, $6 million, but it looks like because a lot of it is incentive-based there.
Right.
So
I'm sure with Derek, a lot of those incentives are – you know, games played, games started, health, you know.
Right, yeah, you know, that's what you see a lot of now is for every game that you're on the active dressed out roster, you know, the 47 that dressed or whatever, then, you know, you get 75,000 or 100,000, whatever it may be. Everybody's different. So you see a lot of those now. And then sacks could be a part of it and percentage of playing time, all those things could be part of your incentive. So we'll see when it actually comes out. But right now it looks like $3 million salary, and then not sure if there's a signing bonus in there or not. I think you look at his age, you know, he's I think he's going to be 31 this year. 2018, again, he didn't have a great year in 2018, only the 1.5 sacks there. So you look at the 7 sacks, how much are teams going to want to commit to a guy that's 30 years old and it's got wear and tear and that just had an injury and at the end of the season, in this situation, you're not going to get a 4 or 5 year deal like you did last time. I think this is just kind of what's going to be the norm here for Derek the rest of his career here, where it's going to be maybe one or two year deals and that's going to be it.
Well, you know what? Just go keep playing well, and you'll keep getting those one or two year deals. That's just where he's at in his career. If he had played all 16 games, I think this would be a different story. I really do. Because you remember, Derek Wolfe played all 16 games in 2018, and it would have been the first time in his career when he strung together two different seasons with a full bill of health.
That's a good point. So say he played 16 games, Zach, and let's say he got
nine and a half sacks, maybe even 10. We don't know how it'd look right around there. Now, what do you think you're looking at? Do you think he might get that 3-year deal? Or
yeah,
two
I do.
Year, two
I,
year
I, yeah, I think
15, the, 2 year 18, 3 year 20.
Something right there. I really believe so, because then you'd take a look at the snapshot for the last 4 years and you say, okay, he's played 14, 11, 16, and 16. He's pretty available. But unfortunately, that you miss in a quarter of a season, it goes to 14, 11, 16, 12. It sounds a whole lot different. It looks a whole lot different. And it feels different. Because this past year, when Derek got injured again, what a freak instance it was when he gets rolled up into after the play had been whistled dead, right?
And I think, right.
I think, was it Shelby who rolled up on him? I forget.
Might have been Mike Purcell.
Okay.
I think it was Purcell. But I don't remember. Yeah, the play was, there was a false start, but you couldn't hear the whistle because the crowd was going crazy.
Yeah, right. And so it was a freak accident. Unfortunately, that just comes with playing sports and football specifically. But once he got injured again this year, it did feel like it reinforced the injury history. And I know the worst thing that people like being labeled, myself included, yourself included, is injury prone. It just feels yucky. But unfortunately for Derek, once he goes down again and misses another quarter of the season, it sort of, again, just reinforced that history, that real history.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing that you can look at and say is, look, he plays a physical position in the trenches. And he's never had a season where he's missed more than, I would say, 5 games, I'm looking at
here.
No,
you're right, yeah. He's never missed more than 5.
Yeah, you can look at and you can nitpick on some things and say, yeah, he's been hurt, he's been banged up. Well, I mean, he plays a position that's it's tough to play. It's in the trenches, but he hasn't missed an entire season. He hasn't missed more than 5 games in a season. So I think there is some positives there that we should look at and say, you know what, he has been banged up a lot. The neck thing that we always were worrying about with him, and he seems like he goes down, you know, during some games with some bad injuries, but he's always able to bounce back the next week and show up and play. And
He's a tough guy.
Yeah. And so I think we got to look at it maybe at a different view of it and say, you know, it hasn't been a guy that's had a Juwan James year.
Right. No, you know what?
A Bryce Callahan year, just taking the year off.
No, you're right. You're right. It sort of reminds me of the Melvin Gordon conversation. Is there an injury history? Yes. Has he ever missed more than 4 games in any season? No. And both things are true at the exact same time. But you know where my mind goes in this conversation? How the hell has Jarrell Casey been able to stay as healthy as he has?
Yeah.
I mean, 15, 16, 14, 16, 16, 15, 16, 15, 14. I mean, holy moly.
Well, then you keep your fingers crossed now.
Right.
And it doesn't just all of a sudden hit him when he's here.
No, of course, if you got some wood,
but that's impressive.
You knock on it.
Yeah.
So, all right, let me ask this question. And it obviously leads here after his time as a Bronco has ended. Is Derek Wolfe a Ring of Famer? I heard the conversation this morning. I've seen people weigh in on it on social media. The case for Derek Wolfe Stoke is 8 seasons as a Bronco, 113 games played, 320 total tackles, 35 and a half sacks, which is a top 10 mark in Broncos history, 8th all time, 84 quarterback hits, and a member of Super Bowl 50. The case against him is that he was just a good player that never made an All-Pro, he never made a Pro Bowl. Is Derek Wolfe a Ring of Famer?
No. I love Wolfe. He's a teammate of mine, and he's a really good football player. He was a good football player here for 8 years. The way I look at Ring of Fame is you got to be a special football player, and that's who I put up in Ring of Fame. So that's kind of my criteria that I look at. And for Wolf, I think he's just short of that when it comes to getting into the Ring of Fame. But obviously he did a lot of great things here and part of a legendary defense, won a Super Bowl, loved his attitude, loved what he brought to the field, his intensity. Great guy to have in the locker room. But Ring of Famer for me is just short of that. I put, you know, like you said, he didn't even make a Pro Bowl, wasn't an All Pro, but a very good player. It doesn't mean you have to be those things to get into the Ring of Fame, because certainly there's different criteria for every team. And we see John Lynch up there.
Right.
And that has me scratching my head to this day. And I love John Lynch, and we've talked about this, but he shouldn't be up in the Broncos Ring of Fame. And Derek Wolfe for me is just falls a little bit short. What do you think?
I have to agree. Obviously, we're all big fans of Derek, but the reality is he was a really good football player, and really good football players don't make it up in the Ring of Fame. Just like great football players don't always make it to the Hall of Fame. You can be a great player. Mark Schlereth was a great player. Won multiple Super Bowls, multiple Pro Bowls. He's not going to end up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's sort of a different version of that, a smaller version, a microcosm. That, yeah, Derek Wolfe is a good player, but here's a question I ask. Is there any player, because I know there's owners and coaches up there, is there any player in the Ring of Fame that's never made a Pro Bowl? I just think it's too tall of an order. And yes, he was on the Super Bowl 50 team, and was an integral part of that, but it was just that. He was a part of it.
Right.
He wasn't the MVP. So, unfortunately, I have to agree with you. I think he falls just short, but that doesn't take away from, I mean, look, you're talking about playing 113 games for an NFL franchise, being top 10. They've been playing football around here for a long, long time. To be top 10 in sacks is a great thing. A 35 and a half sacks, I mean, that's great. That's great. And I'm actually seeing 33 sacks on Pro Football Reference.
Yeah, I'm seeing 33 sacks. But maybe are you counting playoffs? Might be.
Oh, you know, I think I did, because I actually took that 35 and a half number from Nicky Jabala. So,
okay.
I probably included that in there.
Yep, and the games played also is probably maybe that in there also. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're
regardless,
right.
Regardless, 33, 35 and a half, whatever it may be, he had a great career here. Really, for a, I think he wasn't he an early second round pick? They traded back a couple times.
That's
they got
right.
him at the top of the second round out of Cincinnati. Bearcat Jim, I know, is listening to us right now, drooling. He was just a really good football player, and I remember him his rookie year, and to watch him, how much he's grown, and just the player that he turned out to be, and the leader that he turned out to be, is awesome. It really is. And now he's going to be going on to Baltimore, and I think he's going to be a great fit there. And I know we all wish him the best, and I think he did say that this is his home now, and
yeah,
he's coming back
that.
Here, which is great. And he does a lot of great things in the community. So it's you know, Wolf is going to, we're always going to be a fan of him. Everybody here is going to be a fan of him. I guarantee you. He just, you know, people can relate to him. Just a guy that just says what's on his mind, and there's really no filter there. Like I think you said last week, we always had to have our hand on the dump button,
yeah,
because we just never knew what was going to come out of his mouth when he was doing his press conferences. But he was a breath of fresh air. And I certainly enjoyed my 1 year of being teammates with him. And I did, my first real memory of Derek Wolfe was in training camp. And, you know, I got to the team, and I signed there, I don't know, April sometime or something like that. And I was just trying to, you know, earn a roster spot, you know, didn't know if I was going to make the team or not, and knew, you know, some of the guys on the team, but not all of them. And he was a young guy, big guy, tatted up and all that, you know, a little bit scary, intimidating guy. But during training camp, you know, I think I've told you the story, Zach, and I've told it on air, but I think it's a good time to tell it again. We, you know, Peyton would get the guys together. We had like four or five of us. I think Dreesen, Tammy, Eric Decker, me, and then Peyton, and we might have had one other guy in there, and we would you'd get the trash cans full of water, you lean it on the door, bang on the door, right, and the door opens, and you kind of run off to the side, and maybe somebody's videoing it, and guys just get soaked, their socks, their shoes get soaked. It's just a fun prank that you play on the rookies, you know, no, kind of harmless, but it used to be a small trash can. Well, here we got one of those
I don't know what those big gray ones that you
that are like three, four feet high
or whatever. Yeah, I don't know how big those are, but I mean, we couldn't carry the water. We had too much water. Then you try to lean them, and the water's shaking as hard and lean. You're making a lot of noise. So anyway, so we finally got it situated, banging on the door. The trash can fell down, so I went to put it back up, and as I did, the door opened, the water fell, and there I am, and there Wolfie is looking down at me, and he was not very happy, and I'm just standing there like, what just happened? I hope this guy doesn't go nutso on me and smash my brain in. And his roommate at the time was Malik Jackson, so that was like two big bad dudes that you don't want to be messing with, but it was all in fun, and they took it in stride, and that's my Wolf story. And then years later, the video was out when he was at the club or whatever, and he was throwing haymakers.
Oh, that's right. He got that fight. Yeah.
Yeah, he was throwing haymakers. I was like, that could have been me. That could have been me right there on the other end of one of those haymakers. But Wolf was he'll always be remembered here as just a guy that, you know, gave it his all and battled through a lot. And I think we all know his story, his upbringing. He said it many a times, and it's just a success story.
Yeah, yeah. I remember we had him on here, made that big donation back to his hometown. Remember, yep. It was $1 million. I think he and one other guy split. When he said the administration was out to get him, they were trying to ruin his life.
Right, that's right. In school, and now they got different people there.
Right. That's a great Derek Wolfe story. When I think of Derek Wolfe, I'll think of a couple things. One, his press conferences, really first and foremost. And I know he'd probably like to be remembered first by his play on the field, but he was just so animated and extra real in the press conferences, that keeping us on our toes, and he'd be, you know, dropping bombs and things like that. But I also remember, you know, you weren't here, and this guy came into studio and did like multiple days of 3-hour radio. And I just can't imagine that there's another active NFL player, not a former player, an active player that was coming in to do 3 hours of radio, not an interview. 3 hours. I mean, I just thought that was, like, when they told me that was going to happen, I was like, what? Are you sure? And sure enough, it did. And he was very easy to get along with. We would talk about, you know, personal things during the break. And as far as, like, my time here in Denver, Derek has probably been the one guy that I was like, there was a little, and not that we're, like, great friends or anything, but sure. I actually got to know him, you know, and I typically don't like getting to know these guys on a personal level, because I want to be able to say what I want without thinking twice about it. And actually that got me in trouble with Derek before, because I said something and the next thing I know he's tweeting at me. But it was cool. And I remember him also on the field working in tandem with Von Miller, and just how in concert their energies were together on the football field. I mean, they were truly tied together, where a lot of Von's success, I think, can be tied back to the synergy with Derek Wolfe.
Certainly. Those guys played together for, you know, Von was in his second year during Wolfe's rookie season. So they played a long time together. And you look at this team now, and I look at it, and I guess for me, there's still one left that played with me in 2012, and that's Von Miller. I don't think anybody else is still there from 2012.
That's a good point.
But then you look at the Super Bowl, and you look at the guys that are, you know, slowly eroding from this football team, and how much longer does Von have, and how much longer will he be here? That's another question, but we lose another one. You know, we lose another one. That's the NFL, and that's the way it works, unfortunately. But he was a good one, and he did a lot of great things. And you know, part of a legendary team to go out and win Super Bowl 50. We all remember Peyton Manning in his last year, but that defense with the no-fly zone. No-fly zone wouldn't have been the no-fly zone without that front.
Sure.
And that's the bottom line, and Wolf was a part of that legendary front. And I remember them for the hits on Cam Newton, but what they did to Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game was as impressive of a feat as I've seen. And he was a huge part of that front.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no question. And I'm looking to hear some response from our listeners. What will you remember best about Derek Wolfe now that he is officially no longer a member of the Denver Broncos? Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1390. 104.3. So really, really good stuff, really good conversation.
I got a thought on this. You know, it just kind of came to my mind. We've been talking about, you know, Wolf and what he meant here. And, yeah, let us know what you think about him and what your lasting memory of Derek Wolf's going to be. But my thought here, Zach, is, and just now it just kind of came to me, is this how it had to end? Is this how it had to end?
Is it how it had to end?
Huh.
That's an interesting question. Okay, let's tackle that next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 104.3thefan.com.